Guess that line forms on the right, baby.
Where does it form?
Not that
on the right?
Back in time.
On this Friday morning, we made it. It is a feel-good Friday, as they call it in the morning. 888-808-1019. I got you for 3 hours until 5 o'clock when the warm-up show comes your way. Me and Fliegelman with you for 3 hours. And yes, we have reached the pit of despair, haven't we, Yankee fans? It's just a big pile of misery and nothing. Exemplifies the misery more than that first inning. This game was almost the epitome of what's wrong with the Yankees this year, what's been wrong with the Yankees over the last couple of years, and watching this game from Jump Street. It's one of those games, right, where maybe along the line you believed, and listen, I'm the king of belief. Wait till the second half of this open. There's a little bit of a tease for you. But maybe somewhere along the line you got fooled. Maybe somewhere along you got hyped. But then there are some games where in the first inning, you know exactly how it's going to go. And unfortunately, this New York Yankees group over the last month of their feebleness, where now they have lost seven and one over their last eight series, have not won a series, let me put it that way, in their last eight tries. So many times within the first inning, especially as this starting pitching has fallen apart, specifically Rodon and, you know, Rode Nestor, as we got to see last night. Typically in the first inning, you know exactly how it's going. And this first inning was quite the experience. And for me, this was the game. They lost by a run. They should have scored a run. But watching that first inning, you knew exactly what was going to happen in this game. And it starts with such promise. Verdugo recently put in the leadoff spot, which, by the way, I like. I want to get Verdugo going. I've talked about this. You need Alex Verdugo. You can't hide him. You can't trade and replace him. There's just so many guys you can trade, get rid of, and replace. Verdugo was brought here to be someone who can add to this team. The captain wanted him. Rizzo wanted him. They went out and got him, and he did make a major difference to the previous Yankee team that feels like 100 years ago, that was the first to 50 wins, that was on pace for 115 wins, that was just winning every single night and every single series. He was an impact player. And they need him to get back to that. So putting him in front of Judge and Soto, I like trying to get him fastballs. I like him in the top of the order. And he comes through with a base hit. And then yesterday, I get on Soto. I talk about how Soto needs to start coming through. Soto needs, I don't care about his hand. I don't care about anything else that's happened to him. His forearm, his hand. I don't care about the injuries. He's talking again about how he's feeling great. He's fine. It hurts a little bit, but he's fine. He's going to play in the All-Star game. So he's fine. I don't want to hear about the injury on Soto. He's fine. And he's been really struggling to do anything other than walk, which I agree. His on-base percentage, even through slumps, is miraculous, and that's why I want to re-sign him. But he needs to do more during the slump. And he comes through with a double in the gap. Yankees are set up. Yankees need this win. Yesterday was the kind of game that I thought maybe could spark the team. A hard-fought victory, the bullpen coming through, everything we talked about yesterday's game. They come right out. They're going to take it to Tampa Bay. First two guys, boom, boom. We got second and third. Hey, look at this. They're pitching the Judge in the first inning. And then the same typical Yankees that have been here, not just this season, not just last season, but dating back, I mean, I'm not even kidding. Forget Aaron Boone, right? Forget him for a second. This goes back further than that. You could go back to the Joe Torre days. I kid you not. When they do not win series, it's because they don't hit. Go back to Cleveland in 07. Like, they don't hit. That's why they lose. It's not just Judge. It's not just Gleyber Torres. It's not just this new adoration of Yankees who are all right-handed or any other excuse you want to come up with why we hate this group and why we hate Brian Cashman. This goes back further than that. And in the first inning, second and third, nobody out. Aaron Judge at the plate. Fly ball to right field, not deep enough to test with Verdugo. And I listen, I understand, with nobody out, you do not want to get thrown out at home plate. And from the look of it, it was a perfect throw to home. He would have been nabbed at the plate. And then you get Rice, Torres, strikeout, strikeout. And that's only half of the misery of the first inning. But that's right there. Whether you date back to the two games against the Mets, which are the really big calling cards of this offense getting off to good starts but unable to put the run across, you have another performance where you get the first two guys on. You get Soto to step up after McGonagall called him out. I read a article from Pinstripe Bible or some one of these Yankee podcasts, and they mentioned my they did a write up on my take on Soto, and they said McGonagall, who works the overnights at WF, I can't escape the McGonagall. Anyway, I called him out last night. We need him to step up. Boom, double in the gap. Judge, who's mired in a terrible slump. And it's really amazing because Judge has kind of been like the Yankees. When he's on fire, he's the best he's ever been. And when he's gone into these slumps, it's not just, oh, he's not quite as good. He's awful. We have to be fair. Let's be fair. He's been awful for the last 8-9 games. Not just, not as good, No, awful. In every big spot. In every single one. And make no mistake, that first inning is won. They need to come through. They need to get a lead. They need to feel good about themselves. They need to score runs when they have runners in scoring position. They need to get the guy in from third. And they don't. In typical fashion. And then you get the bottom of the first. And you get a ball in that stupid stadium, in that ridiculous dome that goes off a catwalk. I'm not even sure if there's not a guy up there who just catches the ball and then throws it somewhere completely different. They got some kind of setup up there in Tampa Bay. But Diaz hits a ball that you can tell, whatever we want to say about Grisham and how bad he was at the plate. He was the hero yesterday, terrible in this game, and you know what he is ultimately. He's a damn good center fielder, even if he's lazy at times, which we saw earlier in the week against Cincinnati. But he's a damn good center fielder. He takes an angle on that ball. There is no way in hell that ball is going out for a home run. And yet it hits off one of these dopey catwalks and goes in a completely different direction off the wall in center field. And you know. And that's what's frustrating about this team. And we'll get to the Mets later in the show, 888-808-1019. With them, you know. Right? You walk McNeil. You walk Lindor, Nimmo's going to beat you. You know. And right now, you know with the Yankees, they don't score a run in the first when they have second and third, nobody out. They get a ball off the catwalk in the first batter. You know how it's going. And you know what's going to happen. And sure enough, Rosarena hits the two-run home run. And that's the game. And yes, there's tons of ups and downs and pitch hitting for Trevino, for Wells, and all the different things. Grisham coming up in big spots. Judge coming up in big spots. The multiple different times they got guys on and inability to get 1-for-9 with runners in scoring position. That first inning is exactly the personification of what the hell has gone on with this Yankee team. And they had an opportunity after yesterday. That game where now we look back and call it a feeble win. And I even heard the midday show calling it a feeble win. Now they're right. At the time, I thought it was a dumb take. And I still do, but when it's followed up by a loss, now it doesn't mean anything. But they were barely able to beat them, barely able to scratch by in a couple runs. Okay, yes, that's true. The offense is struggling. But they answered a lot of questions with the bullpen. They had a great game. They made big plays. They did get enough runs. They got to sacrifice fly, whatever. They figured it out. It's about winning. We certainly don't say, oh, man, can you believe the Rays just snuck by? They needed this thing off the wall. Nobody seems to give the other team, when they beat the Yankees, oh, they barely beat this struggling Yankee team. A win is a win. A loss is a loss. And yesterday's win was significant and had an opportunity to follow it up with a game today. And in the first inning, you know exactly how it's going to go. The end of the game is exactly like the first inning with a ball from Gleyber Torres that... the two at-bats are the Trevino at-bat in the eighth, and then obviously the Gleyber Torres at-bat in the ninth. And Gleyber Torres swinging at fastballs for strikes, you know, that are outside the strike zone, comes through with a blue pit that 9 times out of 10 on any other day with any other team in any other building in any other situation might fall. It does not for the New York Yankees. And then they give you a little bit of a tease with it popping out of his glove. We get a review. You know it's not going to get overturned. But just the way the game ended and the way the game started is the exact freaking thing that seems to hover over this team. Because I'll tell you this right now. They're not this bad. I don't care what anybody says. You can call me up. You can give me the roster. Give me the bottom of the lineup. Give me anything you want. They are not the worst team in Major League Baseball bad. They're not. The roster isn't that bad. Brian Cashman, we could argue whether or not he's put together a championship team, a playoff team, an ALCS team, whatever. He has not put together the worst collection of athletes in the entire league. Anybody who thinks so is stupid. Now, they're playing like it for a month. It's not 2 days. It's a month. But there seems to be this black cloud that hovers over this team for long stretches for I don't know why. And we can blame whoever we want today. It's probably Boone because he pinched it for Wells. Whoever you want to blame it on in the current moment, it's always Brian Cashman. But there is a black cloud hovering over this team. And that first inning and the end of the game in every big situation, whether it's, you know, Grisham not being able to come through with the bases loaded, whether it's pinch hitting for Trevino and Trevino gets... Listen, you could hate that move. I didn't like it at the time. I'll be the first to tell you. I like the way Wells was swinging the bat. He had 2 hits and a home run. I don't want to take him out because, you know, you brought in the lefty that has reverse splits anyway. I don't like it. Having said that, he walked twice. He walked twice. And then, of course, Gleyber Torres with a 3-2 fastball right down the middle that he bloops and almost got lucky. But you know the Yankees don't get lucky. And that's part of it. And you make your own luck. No one's saying that this stretch is based on the Yankees' inability for good luck. But sometimes it stares you in the face. It's okay to say so. No matter how much you hate Boone or Cashman, every once in a while it's okay to say this team has no freaking luck. And at the beginning of the year, everything went their way, and now nothing's gone their way. And for whatever reason, over the last couple of years, there's a black cloud hovering over this team. And it's impossible. It's impossible to understand why. But let me say this. I'm tired of the black cloud. And you know what I'm going to do right now? And you can join me or you can hate me for it, but I'm going to freaking forget the black cloud for a second. And let's just talk about the idea that, you know what? Let's be positive for one moment, because as ugly as this is, we talked about these 6 games against Tampa, and now starting tonight, the 3-game set against Baltimore and how important they are for the New York Yankees. Well, in the first 3, they've lost the series. They didn't play well. But you know what? They picked up a game. They picked up a game. And you know what else? The bullpen was excellent in this series. The starting pitching, not so much. The bullpen was very good in this series. And you're starting to get some real answers. Tonkin comes in, gets a big double play. Weaver comes in last night, gets a big double play. You've seen now back-to-back performances from Cousins that's looked pretty damn good. Hill came in and had a great performance the night before. Some of this bullpen is starting to answer some questions. You're starting to feel a lot better about the bullpen. And honestly, the offense last night, I heard Keith say they were sleepwalking. I respect Keith. I love Keith. I'm sure he's listening now. Love you, Keith. I disagree with the sleepwalking. They had 8 hits and 6 walks. That's not sleepwalking. That's the inability to get the big hit. But there was good at bat after good at bat last night. There was rally after rally. They started to show something. It's not good enough. I'm not giving them a participation trophy. But let's just be honest. It's better than what we've seen. And the Orioles just got swept by the Cubs at home against the lousy Cubs, got swept at home. And we talk about the opportunity that the Yankees had that they were unable to take advantage of. Well, how about the fact that this Yankee team has been the worst team in baseball for a month and the Orioles can't separate themselves? How about the fact that the Orioles had a chance to take games while the Yankees are losing and they got swept by the Cubs? And in these 3 days, the Yankees have picked up a game in the standings. Let's talk about the fact that hopefully Soto's turning out of it. And if Judge gives you anything, I can count 3 games in the last week where if Judge gives them anything, they have a great chance to win these games. So you know what? I'm going to put away the woe is me. And I'm going to put away the black cloud just for a second, as much as it stared me in the face last night. And I hear caller after caller after caller after caller after caller who's just, woe is me. This team sucks. How bad do we have it? I mean, how long can we just tolerate this? I heard one caller just recently with Keith talk about, well, at least the Giants, there's accountability and they fire people. At least with the Giants, there's accountability and they fire people. They win three games! The New York Yankees, if you haven't paid attention, currently are in the first wild card position, and they're two games out of first place. The Giants' season's dead 5 weeks in, year after year. Stop comparing it to other franchises. They're not. The bar is set higher, and that's why we're pissed. But don't say, well, at least in other organizations, they fire people. Yeah, because they lose for decades. The New York Yankees just haven't won the World Series for a decade. And more than that, almost going on too, which is unacceptable. And we could have our Brian Cashman conversations. But you know what? I'm tired of it. I'm tired of feeling sorry for myself. I'm tired of feeling like, oh, woe is me. The Yankee fans have it terrible. You know, oh, the Mets are winning for the last month. So suddenly the Mets have the city and the Yankees have nothing. Forget that. The Yankees are about to play the biggest series of the season. The New York Yankees have an opportunity to go take on a team that's been playing 500 for a month, a team that just got swept by the Cubs, a team that's offense hasn't done anything in more than a week, and it's time for the New York Yankees to wake the hell up and go play some baseball, because I promise you, they are capable. And I promise you, this team is better than it's shown. And yes, they have to go out at the deadline, and they have to add pieces, and they have to do a whole lot of, they have to get relievers, you have to get an infield, you have to get an impact bat, no doubt. No doubt. And considering the year it was, the Yankees should have done more in the offseason, and they should have made another impact bat, and you should have done added a starting pitcher. Absolutely. I'm by no means was I satisfied at the start of this year, other than when they won with the first team to 50 wins. But right now, I am tired of hearing nothing but Yankee fans feel sorry for themselves. Let's take a second and realize where you are, because quite honestly, heading into the season, considering I have the pulse of the fan base because I hear from them every day, I'll tell you right now, if you told the New York Yankee fan at the start of the year that right before the All-Star break, they would head into a series at Baltimore and they would be 3.5 games up in the first wild card spot and only 2 games behind the Orioles, I think every single Yankee fan would sign for it. With no Gerrit Cole for the start of the year? I think the Yankee fan would have signed for it. So let's forget all the nonsense prior, and let's have an opportunity, which they have. Right, it's right there in front of them. A wise man once said that over and over and over again. It's right there in front of them. And they need to stop acting like we act. They need to stop, woe is me and hanging their heads the way the Yankee fans say, woe is me and hang their heads. The fact of the matter is they're playing a scuffling Baltimore team as well. And they're going into Baltimore with 2 of their 3 best starting pitchers and an opportunity to make a statement heading into the All-Star break. And I'm as frustrated, as befuddled as anyone, and that first inning yesterday drove me absolutely crazy. The end of the game drove me absolutely crazy. The inability to get big hits drove me absolutely crazy. But we have seen signs with the bullpen. The offense did get 8 hits and 6 walks and had good at-bats. And the fact of the matter is when you look at it from all angles, the Orioles are struggling too. And in these 3 games, as much as it sucks to lose another series, they picked up a game in the standings. And they head into a series with an opportunity to actually be in first place at the end of it. And I, for one, am not going to go, oh, I don't even want to watch them. Oh, I can't take it anymore. Oh, forget it. It's time to rally the troops because this team is not this bad. And if they can get a good series victory heading into the All-Star break, maybe we'll feel a lot better about it coming out of the All-Star break. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So let's talk Yankees. We'll get to the Mets, who swept Washington. Told you how important these 3 games are for them, and I'll tell you who else knew these 3 games are important. Brandon Nimmo, who is talking like I've never heard another player talk in the history of watching baseball. So we got to get to Nimmo, his heroics, and his brazenness when it comes to his outspoken opinion of the trading deadline. And then there's a conversation we had about Pete Alonso, if you heard the Ken Rosenthal story, about Pete Alonso and whether or not he's fair to his teammates.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Play fake. Jones rolls left. Throws left. Wide open for the touchdown is Bellinger.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 227, McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. I just heard a clip from, I was just listening to it on my phone. Brett Boone was on with the Midday Show today. And they just put out a clip. I'm going to ask Fleegs to get it. We'll play it a little later in the show. And I thought he nailed, I thought he gave a great answer about Boone, about defending the players publicly, and about the idea that, oh, he needs to discipline, there needs to be accountability from the manager. And we'll play the clip in a little bit, but pretty much his point is this is not high school baseball. This is not college baseball. And yes, he believes, and I listen, it's his belief, I can't tell you it's 100% true, he believes that Aaron Boone is different with the players inside the clubhouse. So do I. He's got too much fire. Watch the guy. Like, honestly, watch the guy. Yes, it's publicly, it's on referees, it's on umpires. It's not, you know, outwardly shown to the players. That's absolutely accurate. I can't say otherwise. But the guy is on everything. They'll be down 7 runs, and he doesn't like a pitch, and he's pissed off. There is no way that same guy, the savage is in the box guy, the guy who shows that kind of fire, who gets thrown out more than any other manager in baseball, there is no way that guy isn't pissed off about the way his team plays at times in the clubhouse. There's just no way. There's no way none of that passion and fire translates itself onto the players in some way privately. He won't do it publicly. He won't, no matter how much you want him to. And it makes me laugh, too, sometimes the reaction on Twitter to his comments. Like, what do you expect him to say? Like, I'm so mad that he doesn't, like, oh, you know, I thought Nestor had some good stuff, but he, you know, blah. Should he come out and say Nestor was awful today? Nestor was just awful today. He's really been terrible on the road. I don't know what the hell we're going to do. It's just a freaking disaster. Is that what he should say? Do you think that will make Nestor pitch better? Like, is that what we believe? You think Nestor really doesn't care and the guy who's fighting for his life, he's not making a ton of money. This is a guy trying to get another contract. This is a guy trying to keep himself in the big leagues. You think he needs the manager to tell us publicly that it was awful for him to realize it or for him to get upset or for him to try harder? I mean, it's you want to hear what you want to hear. It won't make you feel any better. Now, look, I'm not saying Boone isn't at fault. I've been on Boone this whole week. And if you want to, and if Boone ends up getting fired for all this, that's fine with me. It's been losing. That's what I care about. It's about the stuff on the field. They're losing, and there has been sloppiness. I don't care what he says. I don't care publicly what he says, and I'm sure he's trying behind it. It doesn't matter though. You want to get on it because you don't believe he made a good decision pinch hitting for Trevino? Fine. That's a decision that you can have an opinion on and base your opinion on how he handled it and how the at-bat took place, what happened in the at-bat, how it impacted the game, and how you feel about it. That's fine. But when we get on him for what he says in the postgame, when we know it's been years, he will not criticize his players. That's his belief. And not criticizing them has led to stretches where they're the best team in baseball and the worst team in baseball. There have been other managers who don't criticize their players, who have been successful and who have failed. This is about what happens on the field, not what happens in the press conference. It just isn't. Again, show me a manager who gave you a rousing press conference after they lost their 8th consecutive series. Tell me the guy who says exactly what you want to hear and makes you feel good about that manager. And goes, you know what? I know they've been awful for the last 2 months. I know they haven't won a series in forever. I know they're kicking the ball around. But hey, he acknowledged it and said some pretty mean things. So I feel good about him. I think he's a good manager. I think he's doing a really nice job considering how angry he's gotten in the postgame. It's just dumb. It's about what happens on the field. He has not done a good job because of the results, not because of him not giving you your bloodlust when you watch the postgame, because you're all fired up, because you're all fired up and pissed off, as am I, and you want the manager to echo that refrain and feel like you feel. This is a nightly game. Happens every day. He's not going to go out there and kill his players. Listen, to same thing in football. Like, what other football? The Giants have been losing forever. What coach came out like? And the Jets, like it's or any team. What did I mean? Bill Belichick kill his players on to Cincinnati. That's Bill. He doesn't say a damn thing. He doesn't say a damn thing in the postgame. He won Super Bowl, so it doesn't matter what he said. Bingo. Let's get to the calls, 888-808-1019. Bruce in Flushing, what's up, Bruce?
Hey, Chris, two Yankee points if I can.
Yes.
Number one, now you're probably not going to agree with this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. I think if the Yankees lose the series to Baltimore, I think Hal is going to fire Boone. And I'll tell you why. If you look over the last year and a half, Hal has been increasing involved in decision-making. He told Brian Cashman to trade King if he had to make trade to get Soto.
Right.
He went out and did the negotiation with Judge. Hal is not does not want a repeat of last year not making the playoffs. He has has $300 million payroll. He's going to say this is the last year of the contract anyway. We're looking lousy. We lose to Baltimore. I think he's going to say enough is enough and fire Boone.
Yeah, I seriously doubt he's going to fire a team that would still be in a playoff position. I just don't think he will. I mean, if they fall out of it, maybe. But even then, I think they're going to give Boone the year. I'd be very surprised they fire Boone.
No, because to me, if I'm Hal, you got to make the move with the All-Star break because
why?
How much further are you going to fall behind? I know you're still in the playoffs, but for the money Hal is spending, I think he might do it. Yeah. I could be wrong. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, listen, hopefully we won't because hopefully they win the series. But no, I don't. I honestly don't think they would fire him still in a playoff position. I don't. I don't think they would fire him with, you know, the fourth or fifth best record in baseball. I know that sounds ridiculous, right? I understand that. That's how these guys look at it. The season's long. The season's long. I mean, the Mets were terrible to start the year. Now they're on fire. Same players. Same players. The Yankees have to turn, and you also make it seem like that's going to guarantee turning around. It could spark him. It could send him in a tailspin. I don't think they're prepared to fire Aaron Boone. I'd be very surprised. And especially because, I mean, honestly, with the level of importance that Judge holds in the organization, I don't think he'd let them fire him midseason. There is no way that this owner would go fire Boone without speaking to Judge. There's no way. He's the captain of the team. There's no way. And if he speaks to Judge, I honestly believe Judge will talk him out of it. Now, next year, he won't give him a new contract if they lose this year. Judge will just have to understand. But mid-season, if Judge says, look, I know we've been terrible. We love the guy. If you do this, I don't know how we're going to respond. I don't know how it's going to go. It could be good. It could be bad. I honestly don't know. I'm not prepared. I think it'd be a terrible idea. You think he's going to do it anyway? They got Verdugo because he asked. I don't think so. Phil and Kearney, what's up, Phil?
Hey, how you doing, C-Mac?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Good, man. I can't understand when everybody talks about this firing Boone stuff. Like it's you can say it's on him because no matter what the players do, it's always going to be on the manager. But at the end of the day, like, what I think would be a successful trade deadline would be to get rid of LeMahieu and Torres, even if it's like middling kind of prospects.
I mean, in a playoff push, you want to get rid of Gleyber and LeMahieu and play middling prospects?
No, I don't see it like that, but we have, I think we have some prospects. Like, I mean, Peraza, whenever they decide to bring him up. But
yeah, he's hitting 200 in AAA.
Yeah, I mean, is it Gleyber Torres is only, what, doing the low 200s?
In the major leagues. And he has a career track record. He had an 800 OPS last year and hit 25 home runs.
I feel like in our position, I think it's probably better to try to start with trade.
What are you going to trade Gleyber Torres for? Who's going to want Gleyber Torres?
It's a hard one.
What are you going to trade Gleyber Torres for? You're not going to get anything for Gleyber Torres. You're not going to get anything. He's a free agent. Yeah. You're going to have to pay next year, and he's not playing well at the moment. Like, who's going to trade for a slumping Gleyber Torres, having a miserable year, and you have to, and he's gone after this year? Like, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't know who wants him.
It's almost in the same respect as like Pete Alonso.
It's actually nothing like Pete Alonso. I mean, Gleyber Torres has played better the last 8 games or so since he's been benched. So he's played better. He got a hit in this game. He hasn't been that, and he made a lot of good defensive plays in this game. Gleyber Torres, as disappointing as he is, and as much as I want no part of him moving forward, next year, this is the last year of Gleyber Torres. I'm not even entertaining giving him another contract. I'm done with him. I'm with you. Moving him now just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make any sense. I'm not going to get rid of him for nothing. And I'm hoping he could be the player he was last year. He's 27. DJ LeMahieu, you could argue, is washed. He's injury prone. He's 35 or however old he is. We haven't seen a good version of him in a long time. You could argue DJ LeMahieu is just washed. It's very difficult to argue that Gleyber Torres is a washed player at 27 years old. He's not washed. He's not. I mean, is he mentally soft in some ways? Yes. Does he let things bother him? Yes. Does he go into prolonged slump? Yes. Is he that good? No, maybe not. Is he a winning player? I would not call him a winning player, no. But the skill set is still there. We've seen him play excellent defense as well as lackadaisical defense. We've seen him hit. Last year, he was their best hitter. Gleyber Torres was their best hitter last year. And I was all for, I know no one remembers, and I don't feel like getting the tape, I was all for trading Gleyber Torres in the offseason when he had value. When you were still in the mode of shaping the team, I was all for trading Gleyber Torres. It made sense then, coming off a great year. Now it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. And we'll see if they get, you know, Jonathan India, or they get a better second baseman and they want to move this roster around. Okay. I mean, I'm open to it. You'd have to get me Jonathan India or like prove to me you're getting a better second baseman. I can't call up Peraza, who's at 200 in the minor leagues, and say, hey, let's just play him. It's got to be better than Gleyber. No. No. I'm going to take a chance that Gleyber gets hot and looked and can play the second half of this season like he played last year. That's all there's left to do with Gleyber Torres. That's it. Unless you go out and get a great second baseman and then you're willing to get rid of Gleyber for, you know, a reliever that's really not that good, but Matt Blake thinks he can fix. I guess. Or same like a fourth or a fifth starter that Matt Blake sees something special in. Like, that's about it. What do you think you're getting for Gleyber Torres? You're not getting anything. And DJ LeMahieu, yeah, they're not going to play him. They're going to go get a corner infielder. There's no doubt. And Ben Rice has played well enough. I mean, they're going to go get a corner infielder. It's probably going to be a third base. And even if they don't, John Birdie's coming back. Nick Birdie's the reliever. John Birdie's coming back, and he'll play third base. And we forget him. John Birdie hit 300 last year for the Marlins. He's a pesky little good player. He's been hurt. And I'm not trying to say, oh, you know, it's like getting a trade back. I'm just saying if there are options to get to jettison LeMahieu. I mean, they can't cut him or trade him, but he cannot play. I don't see the same thing with Gleyber Torres unless you go get me Jonathan India, who the Reds have been on a little bit of a winning streak. The Yankees hurt their ability to trade for Jonathan India when they lost three games to him. Bob in Manhattan. What's up, Bob?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. So, I'm trying to put away this black cloud that hangs over the team and the fan base.
There is a black cloud, and it's been for years. It just feels like Groundhog Day with this team. They get off to these great starts, and then the June swoon hits. It's maybe not always in June, but
no.
So let me just start
but again.
Off.
I mean, in 2022, they did win 99 games in a division. That's all I'm saying. Let's not act like it's this woe is me crap, and it's the same thing. They get off to this good start, and then the season like just absolutely turns to dog poop.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it does, but that's 99 wins in a division title and playing in the ALCS is some kind of dog poop.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, the team, we have a lot of success, and a lot of teams would be envious of what the Yankees do. But, you know, the bar is higher for the Yankees.
No doubt.
And we expect more.
Absolutely.
And this team has been the worst team in baseball for a month now.
Correct.
And it's painful to watch.
Very painful to watch.
But that being said, Aaron Boone is not getting fired. Gleyber Torres is not getting traded. Who's going to play second base if they trade him? And I'm 100% with you. He should have been traded this offseason.
Yeah.
He should have been traded several off seasons going back, but that's history now.
Yeah.
They're stuck with him. But what I'm feeling like this team is missing is I don't see this team pulling together and having this. I mean, we're not going to see it, but usually when these things happen, you hear about it. Where's the team meeting? Where is the fiery captain, you know, getting on everybody, showing some leadership and getting people, you know, holding each other accountable?
No doubt.
Like, I don't need to be firing people, and Aaron Boone doesn't need to be calling people out publicly in press conferences, but we're not hearing any of this.
Well,
behind the scenes,
yeah, but
it always leaks out.
No,
if they
I don't.
Did it.
Not really. Not all the time. I mean, we don't know about every single team meeting that's ever happened. I mean, we go back to the 98 one. I don't think it was that public until later, that famous team meeting the first week of the season. The Mets literally made it public and then talked about it openly after the game. Like, I don't think it necessarily is always like that. And we don't know. We speak as if we know Judge isn't doing this. We speak as if we know there's no one stepping up and getting fired. We don't know. We assume it because it hasn't changed. So we assume that then nobody's doing anything to fix it. Nobody's doing anything to fix it. Nobody's doing any. No, it just means they've tried and it hasn't been fixed, which is almost as scary or more scary. But like the idea they're sitting on their hands, I don't believe it. I don't believe they're sitting on their hands. I don't believe Judge has never had a single conversation with anybody or got fiery with someone or talked to someone or showed emotion with someone. Like, you know, they're just going through it. And since they had like four games, and one game had a couple of mistakes in it where there was some sloppy play. I thought they played relatively crisp baseball in this Tampa series. I don't think there was anything. I mean, I think Ben Rice hit one off the handle that he thought was foul and didn't get off to a great start out of the box. And, you know, maybe Siri scoring from first, maybe it was positioning, but, Soto just isn't that fast. And to score all the way from first base, it felt like, but, I mean, besides that, I thought they played great defensively. I thought the bullpen was terrific in these last two games. I mean, the bullpen was great in these last two games. I feel like the bullpen is starting to solidify itself a little bit. And I thought they played crisp baseball. They had 14 base runners last night. They had 8 hits and 6 walks. And honestly, Trevino should have been walk number 7. They couldn't get the big hit. And it's happened over and over again. But again, just because we don't know what's going on. Joe in the Bronx. What's up, Joe?
Hey, C-Mac, great show as always.
Oh,
how you doing, man?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. C-Mac, I just wanted to, Aaron Boone, everybody on Aaron Boone, this man has been, I mean, he's a professional ball player. He comes from a family of ball players, so he's been in clubhouses before.
His whole life.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? These guys want fire from him in press conferences. How did that work out? Think about like a guy like Ron Washington. I forget who the player was.
Yep.
He called out. Where are the Angels?
Yep. No, 100%. I mean, 100%. What about what about Tony La Russa in on the White Sox when he called out that the guy Mercedes for swinging it or whatever Mercedes. His name? He swung at a 3-0 pitch when they were up 7 runs. He was the hottest player in baseball. He swung. He hit a home run. He hit a home run on a 3-0 pitch when they were winning by like 5 or 6 runs. Called him out publicly. The guy was out of baseball like 2 months later.
Like, that's what gets me sick.
It doesn't always work.
Fickle fans.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly. Some of these fickle fans. They have to remember this man knows baseball. I mean, and I remember even Bobby Valentine back then with Todd Hundley bringing his personal life into things. And it became like a disaster for them for a little while.
No, no doubt. Same thing, you know, Bobby V came in with Boston after the whole, after Terry Francona was released and it was the beer and chicken and all that, the story. They did whatever they wanted in the clubhouse and blah, blah, blah. And Bobby Valentine came in and he was going to set things straight and he was going to get on the players. And Big Poppy had his worst year of his career. The team was a disaster. They fired Bobby Valentine. Again, Tony La Russa, the whole team ended up hating him and the talented White Sox team fell apart. I mean, it's just, there's no rhyme or reason or this is the way you gotta be as a manager. There's no now that at the same time, I'm not saying if he went out there and publicly got on people that it would necessarily lead to a team collapsing on itself or, you know, or what happened with the White Sox or what's happened with Ron Washington and the Angels, which let's be honest, the Angels aren't any good. I don't think anybody expected, you know, it's not Ron Washington yelling at the players necessarily, but it hasn't suddenly turned them into a good team. I'm not saying that if Aaron Boone criticized people, that the team would fall apart. I don't know. I'm just saying it doesn't guarantee that the team would be more successful. All it would do is make you feel better that the manager feels like you feel. That's it. That's all it would do. All it would do is it would appease you watching the post game, and you'd be like, yeah, I mean, I agree. Oh, I agree. I agree. I agree. It's about the play on the field. And if this is the play for the rest of the year, Aaron Boone won't be back next year, nor should he be. I don't think anyone, I'm as big a, you know, a Cashman and Boone shill as there is, here I am, hello. If they don't make the playoffs, if this thing completely collapses, of course he doesn't deserve his job. And Brian Cashman should be gone too. This was an all-in year. You can't have this disaster. Totally agree. Everyone's got to go. But it's July, and they're a playoff team right now. And how many examples do you need? Washington Nationals had the worst record in baseball at this time, or close to it, won the World Series. The Texas Rangers were in free fall last year, blew the division at the last, couldn't win a series at the end of the year against the lousy Angels, I believe, and blew it, and their bullpen was horrendous. And they blew the division, won the World Series. The Diamondbacks lost to the lousy Yankees and barely snuck in last year. Lost the series to the Yankees, barely snuck in, went to the World Series. This season has a story yet to be written. And I know right now we look at this team and we look at their history and we say, well, see, no, they can't do it. They can't do it. They can't do it. They can't do it. And even if they don't, it doesn't mean they couldn't have. 2000, this is plenty of years, they were good enough to win the World Series. They didn't. Like, that's another, like, oh, Brian Cashman hasn't built a World Series team in forever. No, I believe he has. They just didn't get there. The 2017 team was, you know, lost by a run in Game 7 of the ALCS. That team's not good enough to make the World Series. 2019 won 100-plus games. Game 6 of the ALCS lost to the, you know, the best team in baseball over the last 10 years. The Astros, again, that team wasn't good enough to win the World Series. Sometimes you just don't. And that's not an excuse. You need to be better. And this season, but I mean, like, the idea that they, you know, if they don't, that therefore they couldn't have, it's just not true. Because I don't think anybody felt like the Rangers were the team to beat in the postseason last year when they collapsed. 2006, perfect example, one of the more frustrating years for me as a Yankee fan. playing the lousy Tigers. The Tigers were leading that division the entire year. They collapsed at an epic level. The Minnesota Twins overtook them for the division like the last couple days of the season. They were up by like 10, 12, 13 games in August or something. It was crazy. They completely fell apart to be the wild card team, and the Yankees were supposed to pound them. They scored 8 runs in game one. Bobby Abreu hitting home runs. It was you know, Murderer's Row plus Cano. It was just, they were going to stomp all over the lousy Tigers. And then they were in the World Series, and they lost to an 85-win Cardinals team. Miguel in East Strasburg. What's up, Miguel?
Hey, how you doing, man? How's everything? Thank you very much for your thoughts. I agree with you. I don't think that Boone is the problem because, you know, you have batting coaches, you have pitching coaches, you have base running, you have every coach in the world, and these guys are just not doing it. You know, I think motivation is a problem. I think got confidence. You know, DJ is not hitting. Why isn't he hitting? Is he hurt? What's going on with DJ? You know,
yeah.
And then you put Verdugo to lead off.
Yeah, I like it.
Cabrera at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. You know, he's doing well. Then you pull him and you sit him down for I don't know how many weeks.
He wasn't doing well. I mean, I hear what you're saying on some of the stuff you're saying. He was a very important piece to the early winning, right? He came out, he had a great series against the Astros. He was playing well. By the time they benched him, he was, you know, back to hitting 220 or 230. Like he was cold for a long stretch before they went back to LeMahieu. But LeMahieu's the guy on the team. LeMahieu makes $15 million. LeMahieu's a 2-time batting champion. They're going to give him a run because if LeMahieu gets back to being himself, he's a far better player than Oswaldo Cabrera. They're trying to get players going. That's the reason Verdugo's hitting leadoff. You think Verdugo's hitting leadoff specifically because they think he's the best hitter and should hit leadoff? Or are they trying to get him fastballs in front of Judge and Soto? They're trying to get guys going. Because right now the offense is struggling. And you can't hide Verdugo ninth. You can't say Verdugo sucks, hit him eighth. I mean, I guess you could. But you need him. So you try, I personally would have Soto leading off. I would have that two spot for the get-going spot and have Judge third. And I would put Verdugo second. Against right-handed pitching, I would put Verdugo second. I would have Soto, Verdugo, Judge. But I don't mind him hitting leadoff either. Verdugo has to get going. Anthony Volpe has to get going. Like, Anthony Volpe is terrible right now. And we could blame whoever we want to blame. This was a top prospect, beloved through all of baseball, killing it at the minor league level. He's come up here at the beginning of the year. He showed exactly what he could be for the first month and a half of the season. Even more than that, they moved him up to leadoff. He had a 27 game hitting streak. It was the longest hitting streak in like 15 years for any New York Yankee. What happened to him? What happened to him? I guess Boone hasn't criticized him enough publicly. I guess that's the problem. Or the hitting coach suddenly changed his philosophy mid-season. I don't know. But Anthony Volpe has to get going. Otherwise, they're not going to win. Anthony Volpe's, you can't trade. You're going to trade for a shortstop now after passing on Seager, Correa, Turner. Like after passing on every single big-time free agent shortstop over the last 5 years, or even less than that, last 3 years. Wait, you're going to trade and replace Volpe because he's struggling? Volpe needs to hit. Verdugo needs to hit. They need Stanton back. They need Jason Dominguez healthy. Like, and that's the other thing. Like, this team with no depth. They built this team with no depth. I mean, when they traded for Grisham, and I don't know if you remember, but Grisham was excellent in the postseason. He killed the Mets. I know Fliegelman remembers Grisham in the postseason. I mean, they traded for Grisham as the fourth outfielder. He's the fourth outfielder, right? You had Stanton there. You knew Stanton was going to get hurt. Well, you knew Stanton was going to get hurt. I don't understand. Okay. Hey, you have old players who get hurt. They get hurt. That's on you. That's not on them. Yeah. You had Jason Dominguez coming back from injury to replace Stanton if he went down, and he tore an oblique. He's not old. He's not, you know, no one expected him to go down. That was the replacement. It was the timing was perfect. He had just come back. He's killing it in the minor leagues. Stanton goes down. Whoop, in comes Dominguez. That was the plan. He got hurt. Now, how many backup plans do you expect them to have? I know this sounds like, I know so many people hear this and it's excuse making. I'm not making excuses. I'm just saying, like, what did you expect? It's Major League Baseball. There's a payroll and there's 30 other teams. Do you expect to have an all-star on back of your all-star on back of your all-star? It's just, they traded for Birdie so he could be there in case Oswaldo Cabrera wasn't good enough as your starting third baseman to start the year without LeMahieu. Or he could be there if LeMahieu sucked. He got hurt. Like, how many backup plans do you need to have before you feel comfortable with the job they did? And by the way, I asked all of you. I asked you all. You don't remember, but you called. You all your Cashman haters, you called and I asked you. What about this year's team? Do you think he's done the job? Well, yes. Okay, yeah, he's done it one time in the last 10, 15 years. But okay, but this year he's done the job. Okay, yes, this year he got lefty contact hitters. This year they're legitimately good. They got Soto. No, this year he did the job. Now, all of a sudden, this year he hasn't done the job. I asked all of you. I took my time out to make sure I asked you. I remember Giannotti even mentioned it on his show the next morning, talking about me saying, oh, you guys, if they start losing, you're all going to get on Cashman. You're saying he's doing a great job now. You're praising him. You're saying he finally got it right. He finally got away from all hoarding all these right-handed hitters. He finally did it. Finally different. Did it. And I said, what happens if they lose in the playoffs? What happens if they start losing? I asked you all. And you all told me, no, Brian Cashman got it right this year. Now he didn't. Now he's an idiot. Now he didn't have enough, you know, all-stars to back up his all-stars. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. Bottom line is this. I'm going to get to the Mets in the next hour. And we're going to talk about a winning team right now. And we're going to talk about Brandon Nimmo. And not only his play, but his words. But the bottom line is this. The New York Yankees picked up a game against the Baltimore Orioles these 3 days. And they're heading into Baltimore for the biggest series of the year. They're coming off being swept by the Cubs. Go out there and win a couple games, and we'll all feel better during the All-Star break.